This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. At around 4:45, 4:50, whatever, we have to do a best of Gabe, because it is the last show of 2020 that Mike and I will be working together. And if you're a frequent listener to our show, you know that 2020, a lot of our 4:45 segments were dominated by Gabe Kapler, and Gabe gave us a lot of material, Mike, during the pandemic, his first year in San Francisco, appearing on various podcast platforms. So what do you think we do? Play some of our favorite Gabe check-ins throughout the course of 2020. Do you have some lined up for us at around that time?
Of course. I mean, I always have Gabe, you know, the forefront of my mind of ones to play, but yeah, I mean, there's so many to choose from.
What do you think we go with? Our top five?
Okay.
Do you think five is enough?
Yeah, that's enough, because, you know, Gabe can, you know, some of these are more than 20 seconds the way Gabe talks.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's good number there.
So I'm leaving this up to your discretion, I guess, that you'll choose your favorite. I mean,
Down to four. One of them's so obvious.
Right.
You brought up.
Mike, what were some of your favorite moments from our time working together in 2020? I know you typically don't like my show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have one very clear favorite moment of your show, and that's when Funkhauser upset. Who did he upset? Newman?
Yeah, in the Seinfeld.
In the Elite Eight. That was like the marquee Elite Eight matchup.
Now, that tournament, even though you don't like me or my show,
yeah,
that tournament was a good time. You can agree
good time,
that.
Yeah.
That we enjoyed that.
Very well produced, yeah.
It was well produced. I got to admit that. And that, man, that really helped us during the pandemic. Much more of a hit than my tournament of the games. I already forget. Yeah, it was best Philadelphia wins since 2000. It was very particular.
Yeah, which one won that? I think the Foles-Trubisky shootout won all of it.
No, that made a good run. But actually, I think it was the Matt Stairs home run game. The game four of the 08
okay.
NLCS, I think.
That beat the NFC championship game?
I think it did.
Wow.
So I think we just did it to switch it up. We're just like, all right, something crazy's got to win. So we'll have the best of our Gabe check-ins coming up around 4:50 today and give you some of that. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. As we have spent much of the night talking about the big quarterback change and, you know, more than Jalen Hurts, more about Carson Wentz so far and what this means for his future. And we'll continue discussing that. But, you know, I look at it more and you look back to April. And I don't understand so many people who seem to think this Jalen Hurts pick was the cause for the effect of Carson Wentz's play. Like, when you talk about cause and effect, and I've seen so many people say that Jalen Hurts selection caused Carson Wentz to play this way. And that's just not true. Like, and if it is true, then I have massive concerns about Carson Wentz's mental state, that selection could, you know, hamper him so much for him to regress to the level that he's regressed to. And I don't understand how you look at the Jalen Hurts pick now and think it's a bad pick. Like, the way Carson Wentz has played, at least you have another option now. At least you have another guy with a high pedigree in college who slipped in the draft where, you know, there was interest in Jalen Hurts to the point where the Eagles felt like they had to select him with that pick. Because this is a guy who had a lot of success, is certainly a very talented kid, is a high-quality leader, all these intangibles Jalen Hurts has. And the more time goes by, the more I realize that was a good pick. That was not a waste of a resource to take a backup player. That was the Eagles, and I'm not defending Howie. Howie's made a lot of mistakes, has missed on a lot of picks. But I think that was a good pick. That was one where they saw this coming with Carson Wentz. They saw the fact that he had regressed over the last couple years. Except for that one blip at the end of last year, it had been a steady regression. And this was going in a bad direction. The Eagles hoped they could rehabilitate him. They hired a whole new coaching staff that they hoped could get him on track. It didn't work. He's only slid further back. But now they have a backup plan at the most important position of all of in all of sports. And I think that was a good selection looking back with the evidence that we have now, seeing the way Carson Wentz has played. But one move that Howie Roseman made that was just infuriating, and I was irritated at the time by it, and even more so now. And I think it's had a real negative effect on this team, is letting go of Malcolm Jenkins. And I know the Eagles in the offseason, they were making a concerted effort to get younger as a football team and younger as a roster. Now, that has proven not to work out so well. And, you know, this was before they brought back Jason Peters, which made no sense, and kept Alshon Jeffrey on the roster, who you should just ate the money and cut him because he's been a negative on the team. But some guys are just too important to let go. And the Eagles letting Malcolm Jenkins go was a massive mistake. He was one of those players who was too important to just let go to another team. And he didn't want a ton. Malcolm Jenkins did not want to be paid like a top five safety as we thought or anything like that, which is what the rumors were. He just wanted to be guaranteed, basically, that he would be here in 2021. He just wanted a commitment from the Eagles that he would not be cut loose after 2020. And, you know, I think you've seen the ripple effects of, was Malcolm the same player he was on the field in 2017, 2016 that he was last year? No, but he was still very good. And the Eagles miss his leadership. I truly believe that. And it hurt even more to hear Malcolm Jenkins speak about this on Wednesday. Here was Malcolm in regards to what hurt him the most about not being retained by the Eagles.
Everything I had to that city, to the team, did everything that the coaches asked me to do, did everything to make the players around me better, try to put my best, you know, football out there. And it just wasn't valued, you know, that much by, you know, those who make the decision. So for me, it was just more of a principle about respect. I really didn't care what the money was, but I wanted to see what that respect factor was. And it wasn't valued at, you know, what I thought. And so, you know, decisions are made and I end up at a place that values what I bring.
And it's disappointing. It's disappointing to hear that because Malcolm Jenkins absolutely could have still helped this team. Absolutely could have still helped this team at safety. You look at, you know, and I know Jalen Mills is not a perfect corner by any means. Jalen Mills is better than Avonte Maddox. You have Malcolm Jenkins back there. You have Jalen Mills at corner. This secondary is significantly better. And they miss Malcolm Jenkins from a leadership perspective. And just in general, you know, this is a guy who should have finished his career with the Eagles. And letting him go was a massive mistake. And Malcolm in that comment, I think is speaking directly to Howie Roseman. And it's of all of Howie's failures, obviously the Ortega Whiteside pick, the Rager pick, they stand out more than any. But letting Malcolm Jenkins go was a big mistake. And I want to get to this theory here where there was this theory during the offseason that Jim Schwartz was behind this. And that Jim Schwartz has all this power within the organization. Now, I think Jim Schwartz has a certain level of power, but it's certainly overstated. Like, Jim Schwartz isn't this dictator that's running around telling Howie Roseman what to do. That just is not reality. It's not. And you can tell based off what Jim Schwartz says. Because Jim Schwartz was clearly not behind this decision to let go of Malcolm Jenkins. Here was Jim Schwartz when speaking earlier this week about Malcolm Jenkins and what he meant to this defense.
Well, versatility was amazing with Malcolm. You know, he played seven different positions in defense here, and he knew all 11. He knew all 11 like a coach. Was a great set of eyes on the field for me. Incredibly honest player. You know, always did his job. I mean, he was so efficient at doing his job that, like, if he made a mistake, it was like once a year. I mean, other players will make, you know, a couple mistakes a game. Very, very, very rare. Like, if he did, it was like newsflash that, you know, that he had a missed assignment or wasn't in the right spot. He was just that player that always did the right thing. You know, he was really good at, you know, weathering any storm, always remained calm. He knew, you know, when to turn it up and when to, you know, when to give his fellow teammates confidence. I've thought about, you know, a lot over the years of, you know, all the great players that I've coached and things like that. Malcolm certainly goes right up there. He's probably the smartest player that I ever coached. And leadership-wise, you take all those players, you know, if he was on that, he'd probably be elected team captain. I can't have any more praise. I get in trouble for praising players, but, you know, I mean, that guy certainly meant a lot to me personally, meant a lot to our defense and our team. He doesn't play for us anymore. You know, I root like crazy for him 15 games a year, but not going to be rooting for him on Sunday. We'll try our best to go after him. He'll try his best to go after us, and that's the way the NFL is. But I would say this: I don't think I've ever been around a smarter player.
I like Schwartz sneaking in there. I get in trouble for praising players because that was definitely alluding to the whole DK Metcalf fiasco from a week ago. I'd think.
Oh no, I think he's just doing get fined for tampering.
I think it was the DK Metcalf thing. I think he's making. I think he's making a little joke there. I think he's making a joke. I get in trouble for praising players because of the DK Metcalf situation. But you know, I never got this theory about Jim Schwartz wanted Malcolm Jenkins gone. Did that sound like a guy who didn't want Malcolm Jenkins on the team?
No, anymore? It's ridiculous. People just hate Jim Schwartz and they want to blame everything on him.
Yeah, and here's one more from Schwartz, giving a story about Malcolm Jenkins when he was with the team last year.
It's about the only time I've ever had in my career. We're playing Seattle last year, and he heard the offensive line say something about a look that we had. And it's the only time I remember him doing this in 4 years. He came to the sideline and said, Schwartz, next third down, call this. I guarantee we're going to get a sack. And, you know, I had so much trust in him that next third down, I called it, and it happened exactly the way that he said, and we got the sack. But it was all just because of what he heard. He heard the offensive line talking about, "Hey, next time we get that look, this is what we have to do." That's rare in a player. That's rare that a player, number one, can understand what the offense is doing so well, you know, and can decipher things like that. Anyway, I've probably gone on too long here, but I think a player of that, you know, of that stature and career and what he meant to us here deserves that kind of respect. Like I said, not going to be rooting for him on Sunday, but, you know, the rest of the time you always root for a guy like Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, and letting go was a mistake. I really do believe that. Letting him go was a mistake. The Eagles miss his leadership, and they've missed it this year. And Jim Schwartz clearly misses him as well. And yeah, it was one of the biggest things Howie did wrong this past year was letting Malcolm go. He should not have done it, and the Eagles should have just made that commitment to him beyond this year, made the commitment then for 2021. He was important enough to the team. And Ryan is one of the Wentz defenders, and he's got to be trolling me now. He says the Eagles letting Malcolm Jenkins go was a big mistake. He gave me the 100.
Is this a different Ryan or our Ryan?
No, different Ryan. Okay. Not Fishpot Ryan. Right. And he said he helped Wentz in certain situations on the sideline. So apparently now letting Malcolm Jenkins go is related to Carson Wentz struggles this year.
What does that mean? He helped him on...
It's just anybody, you know, any excuse you can give for Carson, you got to give it. 215-592-9494. I never did my social media gripe, so we'll do that when we return. And also, I want to get to this Aaron Rodgers sound. Aaron Rodgers chatted with both Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz following the game on Sunday afternoon. We'll get to what they had to say. And also an interesting comment from Brett Favre looking at Carson Wentz moving forward and what he thinks would be best for Carson. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. If you want to get in, open lines right now, 215-592-9494. We were pretty busy earlier in the show, so I never got my social media gripe in. This is usually around 2:45 each night, somewhere in that segment, but I forgot to do it earlier, so I'll give it to you now. And it's one of the latest social media crazes. I actually got two of them. And first, I'll give one that I don't know if I've given this one before, Mike. You're going to have to help me out here. Have I done this one before when people will quote tweet something just with when they just say this, like to agree with it, but like kind of siphon off the tweet for themselves, like just as an agreement, like this?
No, but I like it when they add, inject this into my veins.
Oh my God, that's terrible. That's up there with fire blank into the sun.
Oh, I saw one of those the other day, but
yeah,
it was so stupid. It was like, man, I forget what it was. Yeah. It was, they wanted to like change a coach of somebody, and it was like, fire them into the sun.
Fire Doug Peterson into the sun.
It's like, well, what if they just replace Doug Peterson? Right. Oh, it was fire Mike McCarthy into the sun. It's like, well, what if they just fire him?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's annoying. But, What did you say before the firing into the sun?
Inject this into my veins.
Oh, that is so annoying. So annoying. You know, or this energy or something like
I'm
that.
I'm here for this energy.
Right. Yeah. But this other one, this is like a new social media trend. And it's like to, I guess, I don't even know what it is. It's just one of these annoying things that people are doing. Where it's to, I guess, they're trying to explain why something is a certain way. Let me just explain it. I'm doing a very poor job explaining this to me. I usually do my social media gripe earlier when I've got more energy. So now I'm losing steam, I guess.
You had more time to gather material.
But when somebody will say, what is your favorite this and why is it this? You know what I mean? Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Like, what is your favorite Christmas movie and why is it Home Alone? Like, to prove that Home Alone is the best and why is it Home Alone?
I haven't seen this one.
It's an annoying thing. I don't even know how to explain it because it's so annoying. I would never do this. I'm just passing along the information.
There's one I thought for sure you would have done as a complaint by now.
What?
People who post their Spotify raps.
Oh, I meant to do that.
Because you hate music.
Week. I meant to do that last week when everybody's putting up how much they've listened to whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay.
And it's usually, there's right. no surprises. Like, you know what you listen to.
Yeah. Like, oh, I was so shocked I listened to this more than anything else. No, you weren't. You probably knew that was going to be the case. But that, thank you for bringing that up, Mike. I meant to do that last week.
What would
something you, took precedent.
If you did a Spotify rap, what would come up as yours?
I don't know.
Do you listen to music?
I don't listen to music.
So just...
I listen to podcasts.
Yeah. So you like know. You never had a period in your life you just listen to music?
I mean, I'll listen to music sometime. I'm just not a big music fan. Like, Al brings up these bands to me.
Yeah. Like
what is the band he brought up the other? Pogue?
The Pogues, yeah.
The Pogues. I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Irish band. It's yeah, I mean, I'm just curious, like, because I can't, I don't mean this, like, as a shot at you. I just don't understand how to get to your 30s and not come across Fleetwood Mac yet. Like, I'm just kind of imagine.
I mean, I've heard of that. I thought it was a guy. I did think Fleetwood Mac was a person up until a matter of weeks ago.
It's two, but.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. I'm just not a very musical person.
I'm just trying to understand how you avoided it.
As I told Al, I'm very much like Jonesy in that regard. I'm like a combination of Jan Janssen and Jonesy.
So WIP goes to commercial. What do you do?
When in
your car?
When I'm sitting here, I'm planning on what I'm going to talk about.
No, I meant like when
segment.
You're listening in your car.
When I'm listening in my car, I usually will.
I'm not even listening.
Well, at that point, I'll usually pretend to listen to music because if I don't listen to music, then I'm forced to talk to my wife during the commercial break. So I'd rather listen to music. But she's asleep right now, so I don't have to worry about that. You're gonna have to cut this out.
What?
Yeah, I guess you don't really cut it out. It's live radio. I just said something that I guess could get me in
trouble.
You just
have an ongoing phone call going? Is that what's going on here?
No, but like my wife will always turn down. She hates commercials, so she'll turn down the radios.
Well, I mean, like, sometimes when you're driving in by yourself.
When I'm driving by myself, I'll just, you know, I'll listen to the commercials.
Okay. That's all I was asking for.
I'll listen to the same commercials that I've listened to a billion times. Or I'll listen to a podcast or something.
Okay.
I just don't really listen to music that much.
I've noticed.
You don't have to give me the third degree here, Mike, on this.
I did try to pin you down there.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't like music, I don't like music. I mean, I'm allowed to like what I want to like. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And real quick, I wanted to get to this that happened after the game last week, because a lot of people, and this is another social media gripe that was just, I saw somebody tweet this after the game that it really didn't make any sense, where somebody had said, everybody that wants Carson Wentz out of Philadelphia, Aaron Rodgers took a minute to talk to him after the game, so he obviously sees something in him. I mean, I don't really understand the justification for that. It's normally, it's typical of quarterbacks to talk to each other after the game, unless you're that awful Tom Brady doesn't shake people's hands.
Couldn't you just change that to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers spoke to Jalen Hurts, so he must see something in Jalen Hurts.
Exactly. So it didn't really make any sense. But Aaron Rodgers spoke to both Eagles quarterbacks after the game. First, Jalen Hurts. And did you notice this? Initially, Jalen Hurts like kind of snubbed Aaron Rodgers.
No, I was busy.
Right, you're producing the game. Jalen Hurts was talking to a different Packer, and Aaron Rodgers was like waiting for Jalen Hurts to get done with his other conversation. It was just kind of odd. But apparently Aaron Rodgers is a guy Jalen Hurts looks up to. Here was Jalen Hurts on the conversation he had with A-Rod.
Yeah, I was just talking to him, and I have a lot of respect for him. I have a lot of respect for Russell and the way he plays his game, Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Those are some of the guys that I love to watch play. And getting able to talk to Russell last week and communicate with him some was real special to me, and the same with Aaron Rodgers. So I just told him, you know, all week I was trying my best to give a good scout team look. And he said, did you get the cadence down? I said, I'm still working on that. Probably not on your level yet, but just a lot of fun talk. He said he watched me in college and had a lot of respect for me and liked me as a player and as a quarterback. So he just wished me luck, and I wished him well throughout the remainder of his season.
So, I mean, I guess a good guy to look up to. I'm sure a lot of young quarterbacks look up to Aaron Rodgers. But as far as what Aaron Rodgers had to say, first, here's what Aaron Rodgers told Jalen Hurts after that game. So, by the way, is courtesy of podcast, Pat McAfee's podcast with AJ Hawk. You know, just basically saying Jalen Hurts did a lot of the talking. But what's more interesting is what Aaron Rodgers told Carson Wentz. Here was Aaron Rodgers on that conversation after the game.
I'm surprised NFL Films didn't release that as soon as you said it. You know, like as soon as it came out, I'm surprised they didn't just put that out there. That feels like something.
Well, you know, to be honest with you,
Now, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting that Aaron Rodgers says at the end of that clip, there or somewhere else. You know, obviously, you know, Carson Wentz, you'd think the Eagles are committed to him here. And this is where I think the contract is a little overblown, where, you know, people assume that the Eagles are so tied to Carson Wentz. I just don't think it's necessarily the case. And I think people from afar look at it as they see the writing on the wall and they kind of understand. And I'm starting to believe this more and more that a change is going to be necessary, that Carson Wentz and the Eagles are not going to be able to salvage this because there's just too much that's going on here. And it would be maybe better for both the organization and the player if a change was made. Now, Aaron Rodgers was in a similar situation to Jalen Hurts, a little different because Brett Favre was later in his career, back when he was drafted and Brett Favre was the Packers quarterback. But speaking of Brett Favre, he also spoke on the situation and talked about Carson Wentz and whether he could benefit from going elsewhere. Now, I mean, I agree. I think that's kind of where this is headed. I think that's probably the thing that's most healthy, but the contract is prohibitive. And Andrew Brandt, who is a frequent guest on the morning show, sports business reporter, he spoke about this as well, and he doesn't think it's going to be so easy. He thinks that the Eagles are going to have to make this happen with Carson Wentz. Here is Andrew Brandt.
They have to make this work. Training camp next year, whatever it is, come back after this game if Hurts doesn't play well, whatever it is. If people are asking me, what would I do? make it work. I don't know how. Make it work. Psychological, physical, coaching, strength and training, make it work with this guy. That's the bottom line.
Now, you know, I mean, Andrew Brandt knows the financial aspects of this stuff as well as anybody. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be challenging. It would be challenging. But the way I understand it, and it is confusing, but the way I understand it, if the Eagles decided they wanted to trade Carson Wentz, which I think would probably be the healthiest option for both the organization and Carson Wentz, because I just think there's too much ugly history here. 2017, 2018, twice Carson Wentz seeing other quarterbacks lead his team into the playoffs, lead him on playoff runs, the Philly voice story. Nothing has felt right about Carson Wentz in Philadelphia the last couple of years. It just hasn't. Yeah, they made a run at the end of last year. They won a few games against NFC East teams. But nothing has felt natural about this relationship. I don't think it's impossible to trade him. The Eagles are going to have to take a hit for one season. But there are always teams out there who are desperate for quarterbacks. And there are always teams out there that feel like they can salvage a talent like Carson Wentz. And I don't think he's unsalvageable. I don't. I think he's unsalvageable in this city. I think he's got to go somewhere else to rehabilitate his career. And the Eagles will be able to find a place to trade him if that's what they want to do. And they'll probably be able to get a first-round pick for him. I truly believe that. Even with the contract, even with all that goes with it. Remember, we're only 4 years removed from the Eagles getting a 1-4 for Sam Bradford a week before the season. Quarterbacks are at a premium in this league. And it's why taking Jalen Hurts, I think, was a good selection to make sure you're solid at that spot. But, you know, I do think there will be takers. There are going to be a lot of teams out there. San Fran, I think, is a team that could be in the market. Indianapolis, obviously, is the natural spot with Frank Reich that you'd think about. Possibly New England, possibly New Orleans, if they're looking for an upgrade over Taysom Hill long term after Drew Brees is gone. But I do think that's where this thing is headed, and I think it's probably best for both sides if the Eagles do end up dealing Carson Wentz. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Scott in Salterton. What's up, Scott?
Hey, good morning, Tom. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, you know, with all the craziness around Carson Wentz and what's going to happen the rest of this season and the offseason, is it possible and do they have the draft picks to move up to actually kind of bump out the Jets and make an offer to take Trevor Lawrence in the first round?
Well, Scott, with the Jets, I'd say anything's possible because they are not a well-run organization, typically. I'd be stunned if they traded out of that first pick and gave up the opportunity to draft Trevor Lawrence. I would give up a lot to get up that high, but Trevor Lawrence, I think, is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, and I don't think anybody's going to trade that ability to make that pick.
Yeah. Do you think there's a possibility, depending on how Hurts plays the rest of the if he plays the next couple of games, and depending on how he plays, do you think that they would maybe look elsewhere for a quarterback or maybe just, you know, keep Carson and try and rehabilitate him?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance they keep Carson and rehabilitate him, and maybe that could work. I just think there's too much, you know, bad history between Carson and the organization where it just doesn't feel like a marriage that's going to work to me. But I think that's possible. I think it's possible the Eagles draft a quarterback. Honestly, Scott, I think pretty much every scenario is on the table right now. I think, you know, anything is out there for the Eagles to try to figure that quarterback spot out.
Right.
So
yeah, it's just a shame how far they've fallen in a short time and how bad it's gotten, not just with the quarterback, but, you know, when you look at, you know, Howie Roseman and the play calls potentially and just, I mean, there's just so much blame this year. I don't know what they're going to do next year, you know, but they've got to get it fixed.
No, they do, Scott, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. Yeah, it's been a frustrating season, obviously. It's been the worst Eagle season, I think, since 2012, the last year of Andy. Even the last year of Chip was bad, but the Eagles were still actually in the mix late in the season and had some decent wins that year. They won that game in New England, which was still one of the weirdest games I've ever seen.
That one, and they came back strong against Buffalo, who was pretty good.
Yep, they beat the Bills. That was I have a funny story from that Bills game. That was when
a bar?
No, that was when I was an usher at the game, and I got into an altercation with Meek Mill.
What?
Yeah. I never told that story before.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I had read Meek's ticket wrong, and I thought he was in the wrong seat, but it turns out I was wrong, but I didn't know it was Meek Mill until guys were going down to get his autograph. Then I realized I just got in an argument with Meek Mill. Yeah, it happened.
Did he forgive you? Was he like cool with it? Or?
Hey, yeah, he did forgive me. He gave me a little handshake as he left. I don't think he likes me very much. I doubt he remembers me, but if he does, I guarantee he doesn't like
was,
me.
Because that's 2015, so I think it's around the time he was bringing Minaj to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, he was with
games.
Nicki Minaj at the time.
Yeah,
he wasn't with her at the game.
Games.
He was with his kids at the game.
Okay.
But he wasn't with Nicki Minaj, but they were together.
Yeah.
Publicly. So.
Or intimately.
Yeah. Well, both, probably. how about that?
Privately, I guess I should
say. Yeah. Yeah, that's something that happened. I got in an altercation with Meek Mill at an Eagles-Bills game in 2015. Let's go to Kevin in South Philly. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How's it going, man?
As I was listening to you, I would have to agree that, you know, Carson in Philadelphia has a lot of bad blood. Or should I say Carson and, you know, the Eagles has a lot of bad blood. But, so I had a quick question for you, right? We as Philadelphia fans, if they do decide to move on from Carson in this offseason, should we be afraid of the moving on jinx? It seems like every player that left as of recently has gone on and has, like, a resurgence of their careers. And, like, I'm afraid that someone like, you know, Bill Belichick or Frank Wright would get Carson and go win an instant Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, Kevin, that it's possible that Carson could go somewhere else and have success. And honestly, I'm not rooting against that. Like, as much as people think I hate Carson Wentz, I really don't. Like, I actually like him as a guy. I think he's a fine person. I just don't think it's going to work out in Philadelphia. And if he goes somewhere and has success, great. But I just don't think, regardless of what you do with the coach, what you do, I think the pressure for him in Philadelphia is just too much. And I don't think he's ever going to be able to overcome it. And as much as we hate going back to the Foles thing, the Nick Foles shadow, I think, will always loom over Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Sad. That's real sad. But I can totally understand it. And one more question, right? Yeah. In your opinion, and depending on how Hurts play in these next four games, if he gets the opportunity to play all four games, would it be better for the organization as far as, you know, rebuilding the team to honestly move Carson or try to move Hurts? Because, you know, you figure Hurts has, what, second round, so that he's controllable for 4 years.
Right.
Pressure, and on top of that, they can probably bring back more draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, and I appreciate the call, Kevin. Thanks. I'm not sure what you'd get for Hurts based off four games. You know, I don't think you'd get a ton. But it's not even about that for me. It's not about the return. It's about, you know, what is better for this team long term. And I just don't, the more this goes on, I just don't think the Carson Wentz that we saw previously in his career is come back in this city. I just don't. I think there's too much that has happened in Philadelphia for him to have long-term success here. And as much as we hate going back to the Foles thing, I think it always looms over him here. I do. And I think the pressure for him in this town is way more than it would be elsewhere. I think we've seen it reflected in his play. I think we've seen it this year that it's broken him apart. And I think somewhere else he could succeed. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy he was in 2017 again. I think the injuries have taken that guy away. I do think he can be a good quarterback again, but I think the pressure in this town is going to be too much for him to handle, and it's probably best for both sides to make a clean break. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Eric on Twitter tweets at me this, Mike. What's the worst state, and why is it New Jersey? So thank you, Eric, for giving us an example there of our social media gripe. That's the type of thing I was trying to explain.
This is a talk show. This isn't a Twitter show.
So thank you to Eric. When we get back, we will play. This is now, if you're just joining us, this is Mike Angelina's final show producing, final time producing my show in 2020, as Mike takes over the year in review duties after tonight. So we will play our favorite Gabe cuts of 2020. That's coming up next right here. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. Couple segments left. We'll get back to the phones in a few minutes here, but it is the final time in 2020 that Mike Angelina is producing the overnight show, which I'm sure Mike is very upset about. But Mike, you're taking over the year in review duties. So, you know, your last time producing this show, we haven't done a Gabe check-in in a while, and Gabe was such a big part of this show in 2020. You know, he was a staple during the pandemic. How many laughs did we get from Gabe Kapler going on various podcasting platforms, In the Box,
the KNBR boys,
Shelter on Base, the KNBR guys? You know, it was it gave us a little joy in a time that was so terrible. Back when there were no sports.
As Gabe would say, he took down a lot of segments.
Exactly. Gabe dominated this segment of our show, and we do our daily Gabe check-in, and it was a fun time in our lives listening to Gabe every day. So as this is your last time producing my show in 2020, we had to do one final Gabe check-in. And we've decided now, what we've narrowed it down to, what is this? The five best Gabe check-in cuts from 2020?
I don't know if the best, but five most iconic.
The five that'll stick in everybody's memory.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's probably, truth be told, there's probably a dozen that will, but we
of
had
course.
To pick five.
Right, we don't have all night here. Well, we do have all night, but we can't just play
Gabe cuts.
We
have a quarterback controversy.
We can't just play Gabe cuts the entire show. Gabe cuts can only be played in this segment, the 4:45, 5 o'clock segment.
Yeah, you let the 4:20 segment
right
sink in, and then you know, 4:45, you're ready to go.
Exactly. Let's get it started with the best of Gabe. What now, should we start? Are these in any particular order here? Should we start at five?
I did them chronological.
Okay.
Like the first one's in February.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's do it like that. Let's start with the one of the top five Gabe check-ins from 2020.
Pablo, when you had lunch with him in Miami.
I had great impressions of Pablo. He was obviously in a great mood and excited to be there. And I think the thing that stood out most was how supportive he was of the other players at the table. It was Andrew Suarez, myself, Sean Anderson, and Pablo. And he just knew the right time to chime in, but he always had a smile on his face, and he was clearly supporting the mission of the conversation, which was to get to know those two pitchers and Pablo at the same time and get a little feel for what the clubhouse was like over, you know, last year. What that demonstrates from Pablo is excitement and the want to be part of this. And that hasn't stopped. Pablo understands that his role is to be a clubhouse influencer, to be somebody who brings the energy level up in the dugout, to be a mentor to our younger players, both Spanish-speaking and English-speaking, and also to contribute between the lines. I think he sees the big picture.
That might be my favorite one. That was our first, like, that was the first cut where I'm
that
like...
That one was you.
Yeah, I found that one. That was the first time when I'm like, this Gabe check-in could be a fun segment.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Pablo Sandoval chiming in on at a lunch was like groundbreaking.
Little do we know. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so that was a good one. Did you enjoy that one, Mike? I liked how he called him clubhouse influencer.
Yeah, like he's an Instagram influencer.
Right. Like a social media influencer. So what do we got next from the best of Gabe in 2020?
All right, so this one comes after the pandemic came. You know, remember, Gabe did manage some spring training games. He ducked out of that interview.
He did.
But yeah, so fast forward. Gabe, if you remember, he stayed sharp on his baseball managing skills by playing MLB The Show.
Oh, yes.
This is him. This is going to be a two-parter. First is him talking about he sent Brandon Crawford a text alerting him he was player of the game.
The part that I wanted to share with you is I played one game and Crawford was the star of the game. So, you know, like he was the MVP. So I took a picture of the screen and Mad Bum was on the mound for the Diamondbacks. I sent it over to Craw. And so Craw looked at it and he sent me back a picture of him playing an NBA video game where he was one of the players and dropped 71 points and 9 assists. And so,
you know what my favorite part of that one was? It wasn't even Gabe.
The laughter.
It was the over laughter at the end. Was that the KMBR guys?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's what I figured.
And then this one.
I did like the way he also, sorry.
That's okay.
The way he also used the nicknames Craw and Mad Bum.
Yeah. So this one relates to it. This is, remember, Gabe challenged his boss, the GM Scott Harris, to play the game. And this is Scott Harris politely declining.
I have no idea. All I know is that Gabe challenged me to a game. The other day, he told me to go buy a PlayStation and to get the game, and he wanted to battle test some new in-game strategies. And I told him that the peak of my video game career was Mario Kart on N64, and so I was woefully unqualified to play The Show. But for those who are finding value in it, you know, more power to them.
At that point, the GM's got to be thinking, "What did I do? This is the guy I hired, who's using a video game to test strategy."
Yeah. I just gotta move on. The next one's the best one, I think. This one, maybe the vineyard one, but I don't know. The shelter on base one may have been the one we got the most material from.
Yes, definitely.
So here's Gabe on. Remember they spent a large amount of time talking about Gabe's diet, things he likes to eat.
Yes.
So here's Gabe on what the staple of his diet is.
Eggs for right now, it's like part of my, it's one of my staples.
How do you take them?
Over easy, over a steak. Like I just, a ribeye, I'll make it in a sous vide. So a sous vide is like a hot water bath.
Oh yeah, I have a sous vide.
I knew that one.
That's incredible. So in a bag, coarse sea salt, 133 degrees, out, cast iron, 1 minute on each side, butter on each side, 4 over easy eggs over the top. That's my dinner.
That sounds delightful.
So that was a very specific meal that Gabe had put together there.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, workshopped that recipe a few times.
Yeah.
But that's not the only, you know, food take they got from Gabe. There was more.
Gabe, I know you're a big goat guy, right?
I do like goat. I mean, like any goat in a spinach sauce is like a sog.
Oh, yeah.
Really, good for me, but I would definitely share the anything spicy take.
That was the one I was thinking of with the goat guy. That was nice to hear from the goat guy. That's how I always know what I don't know the guy's real name, but he's the goat guy to me.
Yeah, I forget what the guy's name was.
I do like goat.
It's not important. So what do we got? One more here?
Two more.
Oh, two more. Okay.
That was three.
Okay.
Next one is this only a couple weeks later. This was if you remember, Jeff Passan reported on some of the health and safety protocols that got released that was gonna make baseball games look different. Some of them were like no spitting, no high fives.
Right.
Here's Gabe reacting to some of the challenges with that.
So I've had a routine since I was a player. I mean, like dating back to 1999, and a routine that I stayed with all the way through my playing career as a kind of a scout and then as a coach and a manager, player development, the whole nine. When the game begins, I start with some coffee, right? It's part of my routine. I'm drinking coffee. And then I quickly transition to gum, right? Lots of gum, just a couple, not just a couple pieces, a lot of gum. And what I do is I don't like the sweetness, but I really like the size of the gum. So my normal behavior is I spit a lot of the gum,
the sugar
juice out.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you get it out of your mouth.
What kind of gum, like, Gabe? Are we going bubble yum? We going juicy fruit? No, we going double mint? What's your gum of choice?
Yeah, we always have like I think it's like double bubble.
Double bubble. Double bubble.
And we have big tubs of it in the dugout. I'm not even sure what the brand name is on it, frankly. It's just small pieces. You have, you know, regular unleaded, sugar and no sugar. I
do both. Right. I dig you.
And then from there I transition to seeds. And sunflower seeds, like in the middle of the game, right? So, and that's as much as you can fit in your mouth. You're not like carrying a cup around, you're just spitting the seeds on the ground. So that is going to be a tremendous challenge.
I remember that one. That was a great one. Gabe was very worried about his challenge of not spitting out his sunflower seeds.
Yeah, that was a really good one. This one, I had too many for the fifth one. I let you pick this one.
Yeah.
If you want to kind of share your
memories. Oh, I love this one. This is the one. Remember in Colorado, it was Colorado, right?
Yeah, it was.
Where was this? They were getting their COVID tests.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and Gabe was worried about the saliva or something.
He struggled. He needed to go back a couple times. He didn't do it on one take.
Well, I need to be reminded of this one. So let's hear it.
The final thing that I think is really interesting that I can share with your listeners, John, is you know, we have to do the spit testing. Every other day when we come into the ballpark. In Colorado, it's been especially challenging just to get enough saliva to complete that spit test. So, I mean, I just think that's a really interesting kind of note. And guys were taking a lot longer than usual. I had to go back a second time just to gather the saliva. So it is much different being in this altitude, the way your body responds. And there's challenges that you have to be out in front of.
That's a great one. That was a great one. I remember hearing that at the time and him talking about how challenging it was to generate enough saliva for his
Had to go
test.
Back a second time.
Had to go back a second time. But that was the best of Gabe in 2020. Thank you for all your hard work compiling these Gabe check-ins throughout the year, Mike.
It was for my pleasure more than yours.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We had to do a best of Gabe at the end of the year. He helped us get through this year. It's been a wild year, but hey. Only a few more months till baseball season, and when baseball season returns, so will the Gabe check-in. So looking forward to what he has in store this year for us.
The perfect way to 2020, the end of the season, is Gabe got managerial of the year votes and Joe Girardi got zero.
Did he get votes?
Yeah, he got votes. Yeah.
Okay. They bury their award show on like nights when nobody would pay attention to it, so I forgot about it. Thank you to Mike for that. When we get back, we will do a quick week 14 preview. Pretty good Thursday night game tonight. So we'll talk about that and quickly go through the rest of the games coming up in the NFL this week. It's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. In for Big Daddy Graham. One more segment here. We'll close it out by doing a Week 14 NFL preview. As this will be our last preview, Mike, for the year. As this is your so, is this your final overnight producing any show or just my show?
Any show.
Any show. Wow. So you get started on the year in review. So good luck.
Come in overnight anyway and just do it.
Well, there you go. But our final preview of the year, we'll start out with the Thursday night game. Pretty good Thursday night game here. You got the Patriots at the Rams. Rams giving up 4.5 at home. I don't know about this one. I mean, you'd think the Rams would win this game. I don't know if I trust them to cover. The Patriots should keep this one close, right?
Yeah, you know, Super Bowl rematch. I do think they keep it close. I don't know. Belichick's like really been coached the defense pretty well. I thought they've turned things around. You know, they look good. Not just the Chargers game. I don't know what to make of the Chargers game. Could just be 100% on Anthony Lynn. But the Cardinals game, I thought they had a good game plan. you know, he's a quarterback that, can't throw it 10 yards and he's winning.
Right. I think the Rams win the game, but I think it's probably like a field goal game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Or do you think Patriots win this one?
No, I agree. It kind of feels like an over game, too.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I could see this one being a little low scoring. Next, we'll go to New York. Joe Judge's New York Football Giants coming off that huge win last week. They're hosting the Cardinals. Cardinals 2.5-point favorites. I mean, Mike, you mentioned to me earlier off the air that the Cardinals' lines have been very weird the last few weeks.
Yes.
That maybe Vegas knows Kyler Murray's not right now.
Yeah, it coincides with the shoulder injury.
But I don't see any way the Cardinals don't win this game big.
Big.
The Giants cannot replicate what they did last week. The Cardinals need this win to stay in the, because I don't think they're that good.
They didn't do anything flashy. They just everyone just kind of did their job well. It wasn't like they pulled it trick plays out.
The Cardinals still scored 28 last week though against the Rams. I don't know. I like the Cardinals big here, but the line would tell you that the Giants have a real chance to win another one this week.
By the way, I know that most of the focus has been on Joe Judge. There's another person with the Giants you need to apologize to.
Gettleman, no way.
Listen.
Maybe I'll apologize to Judge. I'm not apologizing.
Bradbury, Martinez, Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers, and Leonard Williams have all been tremendous. They all have a chance to be all pros on either team. And all five of them were brought in by Gettleman.
Well, I'll say this. Bradbury did a pretty good job against DK Metcalf, didn't he?
I didn't watch, I guess.
Well, he's better than big play Slay.
Yes.
I think that's pretty clear.
Bradbury played well both games against the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. He had made that play on Rager on the fourth down. So,
and Peppers for Beckham.
So
that was a good trade.
Right. So do you like the Giants there, Mike? Or is that a stay away for you?
It's a stay away, but I would lean the home Giants.
Okay. Next up, Cincinnati. Bengals hosting the Cowboys. Cowboys 3.5-point favorites. I mean, you can't trust either of these teams, so I wouldn't go anywhere near it. Cowboys?
No, I thought Brandon Allen he was better than Lindsey for the Bengals just because he wouldn't get sacked 40% of the time
Finley,
or whatever it was.
Finley,
you're right.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals could just, the Bengals could just have more guys show up and just play a better game.
Cowboys could be in quit mode at this point. Okay, well, that's an interesting one. Next up, Carolina hosting Denver. Carolina giving up 3 at home. I don't know if I had to go anyway, I'd lean Carolina to cover the 3, but I don't really like this game either way.
I would take Denver. I don't like home favorite by 3 or less.
All right. Next up, in Chicago, Texans at the Bears. Texans giving up 1.5 on the road. This line seems like it's not as big as it should be in favor of the Texans.
Man, Chicago's in such a free fall.
They're bad. They're bad. It doesn't matter if it's Trubisky or Foles. They're a bad team.
Yeah.
And both quarterbacks are bad, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll take the Texans. I think the Bears could, lose something like 11 out of 12, maybe, the way this keeps going.
The Texans?
The Bears.
The Bears, yeah.
Yeah.
They were 5-1 at one point.
Yeah.
Next up, we go to Miami. Chiefs at Dolphins. This is one of the more interesting games. This is a big game for the Dolphins. How many years has it been since the Dolphins had this big of a game? Like, it has to be at least like 5 years, right?
Well, they were in the playoffs 3 years ago.
16 they were in the playoffs, right? Okay. So since then,
Four years,
I suppose.
Yeah.
But Dolphins are 7-point underdogs. I don't know. The Chiefs have been kind of sleepy lately. I'd like the Dolphins to cover this and maybe even win this game.
Yeah, I mean, we need more. We'll have more clarity come Sunday, obviously, on Tyreek Hill. Obviously, a big factor. I don't know. I'm with the Chiefs. I'm just going to keep rolling with the Chiefs.
Yeah, they let you down last week, though.
Let
me down?
Against
Denver. Well, if you were wagering on them.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't cover that one. I was stunned that Pat Mahomes is not Sportsman of the Year. I'm, missing something.
Who was Sportsman of the Year?
LeBron.
Oh, okay. Well, LeBron can win it every year.
But Mahomes is, in the last 400 days, Mahomes has lost one game.
Right. No, I agree with you.
The contract, his off-the-field stuff with his family, I think he's married now as a kid. It seems like a year of Pat Mahomes.
What does that mean?
It's been a big Pat Mahomes year is what it means.
He's married now and has a kid, so he should win some award for that?
All right. Not on that basis, but doesn't it just pile on that he's had the most successful year in sports?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what that has to do with
the contract.
Yeah. Whatever. Next up in Tampa Bay, Bucks 6.5-point favorites at home against the Vikings. I like the Vikings in this. Vikings are they actually haven't played that great, but
yeah. Why is this line so big though?
I don't know. I kind of like the Vikings to cover this. I'll tell you what, it's been they're kind of the opposite of the Bears, where they start 1-5. Zimmer's done a good job to keep them in. I think the Vikings are going to make the playoffs now. I think they're going to get one of those wild card spots.
Yeah, I wonder if they can sneak in a game where they can, like, take Cook off his legs.
Right.
He's getting – they didn't want to use him that much last week, and he ended up – the way the game played out, they needed him. He had 32 carries. He had, like 10 in overtime.
Right. Well, I think the Vikings can cover this spread. It's good. That's one of the bigger games, one of the more exciting games of the weekend, though. Next up, Tennessee at Jacksonville. Tennessee 7.5-point favorites on the road. Jacksonville plays a lot of – they're not a good team, but they play a lot of close games. I like a Jacksonville cover here.
Is this Minshew or –
Glennon, right? Glennon. Why wouldn't they keep starting Glennon? Glennon's played pretty well.
Well, Minshew's better.
Yeah. Was Minshew hurt? Yeah. Is that why they weren't – okay, I just thought they benched him. I don't know. I kind of like Jacksonville.
He's been hurt for like a month.
That's how much I pay attention to the Jaguars. I just thought they were starting other quarterbacks.
Jake Luton.
Yeah. But I think they cover that.
I don't think they cover. I think they stink.
Okay. Next up in Vegas, Mike's Raiders.
Grudog.
Hosting against Frank Reich and the Colts. Colts 3-point favorites on the road. I'm not a believer in the Raiders. I like the Colts in this game.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm with you. I just don't think they have the horses to hang with. No pun intended, to hang with the Colts.
Right. And that was a good pun there.
It was unintended, though.
Colts have a good defense. I think they should find a way to win this game, cover that spread. Next up in Seattle. Seattle 13.5-point favorites at home against the Jets. Now, the Seahawks always play close games, but if there was ever a time to pick them to cover a big spread, it would be this week, coming off a bad loss. I still don't trust them. I never trust them to cover a big spread. But what do you think, Mike? This would be the time, right? Ever, if you were to trust them in this spot against the Jets, coming off that loss?
If the Jets did nothing all week, I would say yes. But I don't know. Like, could Greg Williams leaving spark something?
I don't know. Probably not.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Probably not, but potentially, I guess. I kind of like the over there. 46.5, maybe a little overreaction.
Seattle's offense has been weird. Like, they stunk against the Eagles.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't see any way that Russ doesn't come out and have a big game. Next up, Chargers hosting the Falcons. Falcons 2.5-point favorites on the road. I don't know what to make of the Chargers after last week.
2020 matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I have no interest in this game. You can't trust either of these teams.
It's Matt Ryan versus like the guy who's about to have the next Matt Ryan career.
Right. So I would stay away from that one.
I would take the Chargers, actually.
Okay. Detroit hosting Green Bay. Green Bay giving up 7.5 on the road. Divisional matchup. Detroit been playing some tough games. I kind of like a Detroit cover here.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust Green Bay to play complete four quarters.
The Packers play down to the level of their competition. Yeah. I mean, they did it to the Eagles. They should have beaten the Eagles much worse than they did, honestly.
Yeah, they didn't play four quarters.
Right. Well, Eagles Saints, we'll go to this one. This line is 6.5 Saints favored.
Which is noteworthy because it was 6.5 Sunday.
Yeah.
So finding out Jalen Hurts is the starter now did nothing to the line.
I like the Eagle. I'll make my prediction Saturday night when I'm on. I am very tempted to take the Eagles outright. I think the Eagles win this game.
They're a good tease candidate, I would say. Yeah. I don't think they lose by double digits.
I don't know. If it was Breeze at quarterback, I'd go Saints. But Taysom Hill.
Oh, no. If it was Breeze at quarterback, I would definitely go Eagles.
No,
outdoors in the cold.
I think the Eagles defense is going to fare well against Taysom Hill. I do.
I think they would have fared better against Breeze.
Okay. But we'll see about that one. I definitely think the Eagles cover that, though. San Fran hosting Washington. San Fran giving up 3.5 at home.
In Arizona.
In Arizona. San Fran's been such a difficult team to predict. You'd think that Washington's due for a fall after that win last week, but San Fran's very difficult to predict week. The quarterback play is so unpredictable.
Right, and it seems like the injuries, they just can't get a grasp on them.
Right.
Deebo Samuel's back, though, and they look. Ayuk looked pretty good on Monday night. Mullins just made too many mistakes. You can't win with that guy, so I wouldn't back him.
Deebo Samuel's been a huge boost for my fantasy team late in the season.
That's interesting, because I have him.
Yeah. Well, not in our league, in my leagues that I actually care about. Next up, in Buffalo, the Bills hosting the Steelers. This is a great Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Bills giving up 2.5 at home. I like the Steelers in this game as a bounce back. Bills coming off a big win. This is kind of a flow of the season type game where I like the Steelers.
I would have really liked Buffalo if Pittsburgh had won Monday. But I think they need this. They need to keep pace with the Chiefs.
Right. And Tomlin's a good coach coming off a loss. Mm-hmm. I don't know the numbers, but I'd be surprised if Tomlin lost a lot of games back-to-back.
Well, it doesn't lose many games.
Period, yeah.
So we saw this game last year, and Pittsburgh was right there.
But that was Josh Hodges.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm leading to taking Pittsburgh.
Okay. And then a good Monday night game, too. Browns hosting the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Ravens giving up 1.5. They're 1.5-point favorites on the road. The line telling you something there. I think this is just a game where the line is what it is because the Ravens need this game so much worse than the Browns do. If the Ravens lose this game, they're probably not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I like the Ravens a lot. I don't think they put a ton on film last week against the Cowboys. Like they were holding back. And Lamar looked better than I thought he would, I would say. Lamar looked a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah. It didn't throw for many yards, but...
No, but he made good reads when he did.
Yeah.
Despite our one guy.
So, that's the week 14 preview. A good slate of games. Good at primetime games this week. All three of them are good. You got Rams-Patriots tonight, then the Bills-Steelers Sunday night, and Browns-Ravens Monday night.
Do you think we'll get more than one Monday game?
I hope not. I don't think so. Usually they get to this point in the week, they're good, has been kind of the case.
Well, the Chiefs-Patriots one, that was Saturday morning, they decided.
Right, that's true. So hopefully not, but I do think for the future, they should just make the Monday night doubleheader a thing.
Yeah.
Like 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock game every week.
I guess that was a stupid question I asked you because I'm basically asking you to predict if somebody will have a COVID.
Yeah.
Which, how would you know?
Well, yeah, and obviously I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah.
So that's the week 14 preview. Thanks to Mike Angelina for producing tonight and all of 2020. So we'll be back next week on Saturday night. Next up, we'll talk to Al for the Overlap Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.